Hello and welcome to podcast number 18 for the United Grand Lodge of Queensland and the Queensland Freemasons podcast. My name's Luke Hewlett and I'm here today with Graham. Would you like to introduce yourself, Graham?
Thanks, Luke. My name's Graham Schultz. I'm the Deputy Grand Secretary with the United Grand Lodge of Queensland out of Brisbane, Australia.
Oh, thank you, Graham. And this is podcast number 18, as I mentioned earlier, and it's almost as if we'd run out of topics for Freemasonry, but don't worry, there's a rich history and there is more topics than we can possibly cover. And today we're doing on the officers in a lodge, and I guess I'm being a little selfish because I'm about to be installed as the master of my own lodge, and I thought it would be an appropriate time to bring up what the officers in the lodge mean, what their roles are, and a bit about the history of why we have officers in the lodge and why they are being created in the modern way that they have, because they are kind of an unusual... There's a few unusualnesses about the lodge and the way it's structured, and today we're going to be doing... Today we're doing two separate podcasts. This podcast number 18 is on the senior officers, and we'll do one on podcast 19 on the junior officers. So today we'll be covering the worshipful master in a lodge and what their role is, the immediate past master, the senior warden, the junior warden, the treasurer, and the secretary. Mm. And I might start with you, Graham. I believe you've been a master of a lodge, and would you like to start at the top, I guess, and talk about what it is you think a master of a lodge in and why we have it? I guess maybe we should start with the progressive line theory too, because I hadn't really heard that formally until we started doing research into this, and we can explain the idea behind that if you'd like.
I think a great book for people if they're not familiar with Freemasonry is to grab the book at any municipal library or online. It's called Freemasons for Dummies, and the author is Christopher Hoddap, and we'll use that for part of our podcast today, I think, and allude to that and quite a few of the actual, you know, the officers as we go through them. But I think we'll start with the fact that, you know, officers are elected by the members of the lodge to run the lodge, although a few of them are appointed by the worshipful master. In most lodges, the officers serve in their positions for 1 year, and the names and the duties of the officers are mostly taken from very old customs practiced by the medieval stonemason schools where Freemasonry originated. And back in England, for example, in the 1400s, under the reign of King Edward III, local, or what we now call municipal, governments grew out of the merchant and the craft industries of the towns. And the guilds had a lot of money and a lot of property, as well as organisational and administrative experience. And heads of those guilds became the heads of the town councils, the mayors, the sheriffs, and more. And one of the ways that a local official, excuse me, proclaimed his rank was by wearing a badge of office or a jewel on a chain around his neck. And we'll talk about those today too, as to what in our jurisdiction in the United Grand Lodge of Queensland, what sort of jewels that we wear on that.
And jewel is basically an emblem or a symbol of what it is that office entitles, or at least symbolic of what that office might entitle.
Yeah, and that you still see that today in local government, and Masonic lodges do the same thing to identify our officers carrying over this old guild tradition, and Masonic jewels of office are symbolic, of course. So every lodge is required to have a worshipful master, a senior warden, a junior warden, a senior deacon, a junior deacon, a treasurer, and a secretary. However, not all Freemasons, all parts of the world, are in the same step with one another. From country to country, things are different. When we go, say we went from Queensland on vacation to Belgium, we'd recognise the same basic framework of the Masonic officers' line that we have at home here in Brisbane, governing the lodge that we're visiting over there as well. So it's called going through the chairs.
Yes, it's progressive. So when a person starts out their Masonic career, they virtually start out as an apprentice, and we've talked about how you move through the various degrees. Once you've reached the degree of a Master Mason, though, you're then entitled to sit as an officer in the lodge, and the officers in the lodge are similar to other organisations that have rank. Maybe perhaps the military is the most obvious one, where you start at a lower rank with the least amount of responsibility and work your way through the organisation. And there's approximately 7 office chairs that are formally appointed, and you start out at one and work your way through. And we're talking backwards today, so we're starting at the top end of the organisation and working back. And the first one is the worshipful master, and the worshipful master in the lodge is essentially the president or the chairman of the lodge, and they're the ones who sit at the end of the end of the meeting hall and conduct in a large to a large degree the business of the meeting. And I think that's probably a good explanation as to what the worshipful master of the lodge is.
Yeah, he sits. He always sits in the east, symbolically, doesn't he?
Yes, and effectively they are in charge of and running the lodge whilst they're sitting in the chair of the lodge. One thing that I find unusual is that at the moment I'm the senior warden within my lodge, and if in most organisations that would be considered the deputy position or the second in charge position, Freemasonry is a little unique. If the worshipful master of my lodge was absent, away on holidays or ill, or couldn't make the meeting, I as the deputy in most organisations would stand in and fill in for them, but not in Freemasonry, Graham, is it?
No, because there are certain things that you haven't been instructed in at that point in time. So an immediate past master or someone who has been a master of a lodge would take the place on that particular night.
Yeah, so that's a little unusual, and that's a bit of a quirk with us. I don't know of many other organisations I belong to that I would, as second in charge, be set aside when the boss is not there and not be in the chair. But that's a little unusual, but there are reasons for that. And I guess it's more to do, if you look at the Stonemasons Guild, you couldn't have the second person in charge if they hadn't been instructed in a piece of equipment or a particular technique. It would require the person who had had that set of instructions.
And I think if you look at it in a historical context, the master's jewel, for example, is the right angle of a square, which was a stonemason's tool.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, used for the checking the angles of the cut or the smooth stones. And it's not a measuring square like carpenters use. It's used to make certain an angle is true. So it symbolises virtue, so that the worshipful master is in charge of the lodge from that perspective. And we don't call our masters worshipful masters because we worship him, although you
oh,
might
really? Not really. I'm disappointed to find out that there.
But, you know, in parts of Australia and England, mayors, judges are also called worshipful, or your worship. It's a term of honour, or it's a venerable
to give
term.
Respect.
Yes, correct.
It's a term of basically like calling somebody sir. They may not actually be a sir, but we might call them sir as a gentlemanly way of referring to them.
Exactly.
The next position we have is the senior warden, and the senior warden, I guess, sits directly opposite the actual worshipful master in the way our lodges are set out. And it's their job, basically, to make sure that the worshipful master's commands are carried out, is the best way I can describe the duties of a senior warden. And it's not really a term you hear very often, warden, but the senior warden, it sits in the west, symbolic of the setting sun, and it is up to them to basically make sure that if the worshipful master has given an instruction or a command, that those instructions or commands are carried out.
And his ancient duties were to actually pay the craftsmen their wages and to handle any disputes amongst the workers.
Absolutely.
He's just a heartbeat away from being the worshipful master. So his task is to support the master and to prepare himself for that office for the following year.
In a large respect, almost an understudy to the worshipful master, I guess. He's following and looking and has the opportunity to watch what that person's doing, because when it's their turn next, they'll be in a good position to observe how they've conducted themselves. Because our meetings are not necessarily easy to follow for a new initiate, but after you've been there for 4 or 5 years or 6 years, you'll be a junior or senior warden, and you will have observed the conduct and how the meeting takes place. And what's the symbol for the senior warden, Brad?
The senior warden's symbol is the level, which in today's modern parlance would be a spirit level, but in the old days they were a horizontal plane with a plumb rule set on the top of them. So that's the senior wardens. But the interesting thing about the senior warden and the junior warden too is that they have small wooden columns on the pedestals in front of their positions. And when the lodge is at work or during a meeting, the senior warden's column is standing upright so that people can see that he's in charge of the lodge at that time, and the junior warden's column is laid on its side, showing that the senior warden is in charge of the craftsmen. And when the work's concluded and the lodge retires to refreshment, the junior warden's column is raised and then the senior warden's is laid down, showing that they're now under the supervision. Whoever's column is upright, they're actually in charge of the brethren at that time.
And when we talk about columns, these are symbolic columns that are sitting on the desk in front of us to conduct the meeting, a bit like we still use a gavel in our meetings as well, or gavel, depending on how you want to say it.
Yeah.
These are interesting things, and a lot of Masons don't take the time to think about them, and this is why we're trying to individually point out what each of these roles are doing, to perhaps even give Masons that are listening to this some sort of background as to why we have these things in our lodge. And I guess the next position, obviously, is the one to describe would be the junior warden. And the junior warden sits in the south in our lodges. And all our lodges are orientated to the compass.
East, west,
mm-hmm. and north, south. Mm-hmm. And each of those positions has a symbolic function. So the symbolic position is the sun is at midday, so when the typically lunchtime, and this is why we have a junior warden is in charge of the meal, because it symbolised in their position that they're responsible for the refreshments of the workers, or the refreshment of the people in the lodge. And I think that you'll find that their symbol is the symbol of the plum room.
That's exactly right, and he's the number three officer in the lodge hierarchy, I suppose, and he can also open the lodge if the master's unable to attend the meeting. The master and the two elected wardens are the only officers who can open a meeting. And the junior warden is often in charge of arranging the meals for the lodge. So it's a good position to have, and is always popular, and is always the man who will invite visitors to attend the festival.
I don't know if the junior warden's popular, Graham. It might be a bit controversial. I remember being made the junior warden in my lodge, and until then we'd shared the duties of making our festive board or our supper after it. And I was kindly informed, because I was the first junior warden in the little while to come through that hadn't done the role before, it'd be my responsibility for a year to make the festive board. So I didn't mind that.
Yeah.
And it was one of those experiences that it's kind of in a modern society, it's not very often the young men are asked to prepare and make sure there's a function and everybody's sit down and eating their meals in a way that's good and proper. And yeah, it was kind of good to do that.
And the junior warden's jewel is the plum rule, which was a stonemason's instrument for checking the alignment of a vertical surface, and it symbolises upright behaviour amongst masons.
Yeah, okay. And we'll leave those three positions then, and we'll call it time on this particular podcast. And until next month, or till the next podcast, stay on the level.